Grace to you and peace from God, who is our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. Now, it may not seem like it, since we're celebrating Vernon today. It's Memorial Day weekend. We have some wonderful special musicians with us. But today is the beginning of ordinary time. Look on the front of your bulletins if you have them. See, it's right there in black and white. The season of ordinary time. Now, you'd think we could come up with a fancier title, right? That's not very good branding, is it? But this is the beginning of ordinary time. Pentecost was 2 weeks ago. Following Pentecost, we had Holy Trinity Sunday. And now we begin ordinary time. It's interesting because so much of what we've done in this church year, beginning with the season of Advent, has been, in many ways, extraordinary. We have the season of Advent that leads up to what? Christmas. One of the most awesome celebrations of the church year. There's exciting things happen. We have Advent services. After Christmas, you know, it snows and nobody comes to church for a while. But then... You know, it thaws and we start having people back in worship. And right about that point, we start Lent. Oh, one of the highlights of the church year. We have this extraordinary time of 40 days where we center ourselves in loving and living our life of Jesus. And at the end of that, we have our holiest week of the year where we have our foot washing Sunday, our foot washing Thursday, Monday, Thursday. We have Good Friday, and then we have the highlight of the church year. We have Easter, and everybody comes to church, and it's a celebration, and it's awesome, and everybody lives on that high, and we have Easter, and we have more celebrations as the weather changes, and everything is exciting, and things are happening, and then we have Pentecost. And the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we celebrate that and we keep the celebration going with Holy Trinity Sunday. So we've had almost 6 months of it, joyous, celebratory things to look forward to. And you know what that's like, don't you? Anybody here have a vacation plan for the next couple months? Anybody? Raise your hand. Oh, great. Not a lot of you. Then I'll see you Sundays. Awesome. You have those things planned. Well, I know I do, and families do. And don't you like having things to look forward to? Things to go do? Oh, I can't wait. We're going to go do this evening, or we're going to go do this in a couple weeks, or all those kind of things. That's exciting. We have those things throughout this first part of the church year. And then we get ordinary time. How excited are you for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost? Can't you wait? Aren't you excited? Aren't you? What about the 18th Sunday after Pentecost? Woo! Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? And so we have this ordinary time, and it's like the fourth Sunday in ordinary time. And that's what we're living in now. It's kind of like, oh, we don't have anything to look forward to until, well, maybe when we start back with two services, and that'll be fun because then I can go back to the service that I usually go to. Or maybe we're looking forward to, well, you know, Stewardship Sunday, and that's coming up in October, or maybe Reformation, that's in October, and all these things. But until then, we just have ordinary time. Well, you know, I would submit to you this morning that while I've enjoyed this event-oriented, exciting 6 months that we've had with the beginning of Advent, I would say that I think that maybe these next months of ordinary time are actually the most valuable or vital to our life of faith. And here's why. Most of us live our lives in ordinary time, don't we? While we have those exciting moments that happen, most of our days are spent fairly ordinarily, aren't they? With going to work, getting up, getting the kids ready, making sure they have breakfast, making sure that you remember your wife's anniversary today, which I did. I did get her flowers. I did remember that. Yay for me. Remembering all those things that are part of your life, going to work, dealing with issues, dealing with things that you have to deal with your car and making sure you're making your payments. I mean, that's all very ordinary, isn't it? How exciting are we? The other day, I said something to Heidi. I said, you know, babe, did you see what I did? I paid all the bills and I cleaned up the kitchen. Isn't that awesome? Aren't you excited? She goes, David, do you get excited when I do the laundry? I'm like, no, I'm glad you did. She goes, yeah, it's just what we do. Do you want me to give you a gold star because you are a good husband? Good for you. That's what you're supposed to do. I don't get a gold star when I do the laundry or clean the bathroom, right? No, that's true. So there's so much of our lives are lived in ordinary time. And I don't know about you, but when I have Easter and Christmas and Lent and other celebrations, it's easy for me to just have this abundant faith, isn't it? You show up and you're like, oh, this is awesome. They're playing all my favorite songs. Everybody looks great. Everybody's in a good mood. We're celebrating and everything is beautiful. And you know what? In those moments, thank you, Jesus, we have them because it allows us to have those mountaintop experiences. But so much of our life is spent not on the mountaintop. It's lived in the mundane, ordinary time. But how delicious and beautiful is it that we have this season is so long because it reminds us that at the heart of our faith is a God who does not abandon us to the ordinary, but instead helps us to have extraordinary moments in ordinary time. Today is one of those. Today is an extraordinary day. But do you know what? There will be an extraordinary day for you in 11 days. I don't know what's happening in 11 days, but you know what? There will be an extraordinary moment in that day for you. Why? Because as you pray and as you read Scripture and as you worship and as you come to lift up your prayers to God, guess what? God will do extraordinary things in your ordinary time. God will do things like forgive you. That's pretty extraordinary. Now, I don't know about you, but I need forgiveness more than Christmas and Easter and Lent. I need a lot of forgiveness in ordinary time. And so the beauty of ordinary time is that God's extraordinary grace comes and builds faith in us and through us and even despite us. In the midst of ordinary time, when I get upset or frustrated with the monotony of life or the frustrations that come with day-to-day living, I need to know that I have a God that I can go to who will give me a word and a promise of hope in the midst of those moments that says to me and says to us, even amidst this ordinary moment, amidst this ordinary experience, you are an extraordinary loved child of God. And then I can dare to love another. I can dare to love an enemy. I can dare to love those who have hurt me. Why? Because even amidst ordinary time, God does extraordinary things. Many would say that the time of Jesus was rather ordinary. It was during the beginning part of the Pax Romana that lasted for several centuries. Nothing too crazy was happening in that particular part of the world, right? Let me tell you what was very ordinary was the city of Bethlehem. You know what else was pretty ordinary? The region of Galilee. This town of Capernaum, where this Roman centurion was also fairly ordinary. It was not one of the bigger parts of the Roman Empire. Yet, in that ordinary place, extraordinary things happened. Like the ministry of Jesus of Nazareth, who came and shared this amazing message. We are told today, at the very beginning, that after he had finished speaking all these things, and what had happened immediately previous to this in our seventh chapter of Luke is that Jesus had been talking, and it's called the Sermon on the Plain. It's Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount happens in the Gospel of Matthew. All of our disciple people know that. Chapters 5 through 7. And then in Luke, it's chapter 6. It's called the Sermon on the Plain. And it's a very similar story, but a little bit different. he's not on a mountain, he's on a plain. But he says a lot of the same things about loving your enemies, about caring for those and healing the sick and being there for those who are in need. He says all of those things in Luke. And so right after he had said this, he is confronted with that experience. Here's a centurion. Here's someone who is, for lack of a better word, one of the oppressors, one of the enemies of the Jewish people. And in that moment, the oppressor comes, the enemy, Jesus, who had just said, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you, is confronted with an opportunity to do exactly that. Practice what he preaches. I don't know about you, but when people actually live by their convictions and practice what they preach, well, even in the midst of ordinary life, that can be an extraordinary thing, can it not? And Jesus does it. Not only does he do it in a beautiful way, but he also gives us an amazing picture of what faith is like. You see, this centurion shows faith in this way. He recognizes the authority of Jesus in his life. Now, in the midst of my ordinary life, in the midst of the ordinary things that happen in my life, I can often forget the great authority in my life because I get caught in and swept into different struggles or different thoughts or different frustrations. And at times I can forget the real authority in my life. Because I don't know, maybe like you, I want me, myself, and I to be the Holy Trinity of my life versus the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So what happens in this story is that this centurion, this foreigner, this one whom Solomon perhaps was predicting about, saying those foreigners who will come to know the Lord, bless them, Solomon says to the Lord. Bless them if they come to know you. He says those things. And here we have the example of that happening, and Jesus, the Lord, sees it, and he acknowledges it. While the centurion says, you know what, I'm not worthy of you, Jesus, but I know this. I know that if you say it, it will happen. And Jesus compliments that experience for us so that we know that even when we are not worthy, even when we know that we are full of shame, even when we know that we have struggles and pains and hurts and all of those things that make up our ordinary life, that still will never keep us from still having the faith enough to say, but Lord Jesus, I know I am unworthy, but Lord Jesus, you too can heal me. And in that moment, that acknowledgement that God looks not only past our shame and past our sin, but God can then redeem that, that, my friends, in the midst of our ordinary lives, is the most extraordinary thing that you will ever hear. That your sin and your brokenness, your shame, your worries, your doubts do not define you. What defines you fully and completely is the extraordinary grace and love of God for you. We begin ordinary time today, but we don't begin it with an ordinary word from God. You hear yet again the extraordinary word of God's love for you. And in the midst of your ordinary days, in the midst of your ordinary moments, I pray that you will remember this extraordinary blessing. In Jesus' name.